Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Annika.
And this week, we've watched A Night in Sickbay. And now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
Is that the earliest can opening we've ever had?
I was going to try and open it before I said the episode name, but my finger got caught. So I kind of screwed it up, and I was like, I'll just wait. But
completely
yes.
Befitting of this tragedy of an episode. I just need Archer to fix up his attitude, because unless it was bring your dog to work day, relax.
I don't understand why the crux of Archer complaining about the diplomatic incident is not that they broke one of his own faux pas, or that, like, he doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. It's they didn't care about my fucking dog. Like, who brings a fucking dog on a state visit? You're not the fucking queen.
I think he thinks he is, though, to be fair. Archer is a toddler throughout this entire episode.
It's weird to say somebody's out of character for Archer, considering he has no character. But it is out of character.
He's literally a toddler. He starts that way, and he doesn't get any better. And he, like, people tell him to take a nap, and
they tell him to eat, and they tell him to apologize.
Yes. He's a child. And I say this as someone who loves Archer, but I love him for being terrible. He's my trash captain. He's the worst, and I blame everything wrong in Starfleet on Jonathan Archer.
Did you get this far in your Enterprise rewatch, Olivia?
In my initial watch of Enterprise, I thought it was going to be a Locke-centric episode, so I was overjoyed and my heart was broken into a million pieces. I think if they had the strength to write for Phlox properly, we would have had a good episode here.
But they didn't.
Cut all Archer's scenes out.
Even Archer's scenes, even Phlox in this is like, have you ever thought about fucking your first officer? That's the vibe of the whole episode. It's like, why don't you guys just have sex?
It's a terrible, weird harassment arc. Like, why are you encouraging this most senior officer on the ship to have sex with one of the crew? I don't know, Phlox. I wasn't rooting for you with this line.
I mean, I just...
This is an unsafe everything. Working environment.
I mean, did you start with Enterprise Annika, or did you start in a sensible place?
I started in a sensible place, if you call TOS a sensible place.
Yes, we did. Yeah. It's the best place to start. It's the only place to start.
And it's only if place you come that on feels safe.
Yeah, if you come on this podcast and say I started with TOS, you are immediately loved. If you come on this podcast and say I don't like TOS, you're in trouble.
I was really... around 10, I would say-ish. My father worked at a university in the drama department. He was the directing professor. And one of his students did a senior thesis putting Balance of Terror on stage. So that's how my first experience Star Trek was.
I want to see that.
It was really, it was very memorable to me. Even though I was a child, it made me a Star Trek fan for life.
Because there was this guy in Seattle who did Trek in the Park for ages, wasn't there?
Live performances?
They used to be. They had to stop doing it. But that's a really, really cool way to get into Star Trek. I think that's my favorite story on episode 78. I think that's also around then. That's my favorite story, I think.
Yep. So, and then I found out that it was a television series, and even though it was on at like 10 p.m. on a random like PBS, it was very not on an actual channel. And but I would convince my parents to let me stay up and watch old Star Trek, at least if it wasn't a school night.
That's pretty cool. Do you remember then sitting as a kid in front of a TOS episode and going, I don't know what I've just watched, or was it all just great? Was it all just fun?
I mean, I definitely My main memory is my mother watching, what's the one in the shuttle? Is it like the Galileo 7, I think? And just giving up halfway through. She was like, this is boring. Why are we watching
Galileo 7 is great. The Galileo 7
and I was
is
like,
great.
No, this is Star Trek. So, yeah.
But you didn't quit. You kept going.
I didn't quit. I kept going. Next Generation and Voyager were like what I watched when they were live, but I started with TOS, and it still has a special place in my heart.
As it should.
I'm just like, I want to put, you know,
John
we might
so
have,
jealous let's
put
right it, now, everyone. If yeah. you can see his face, he's heartbroken.
we're gonna use our Patreon money for. We're gonna put on a live of nostalgia. We're gonna make Terry play, I don't know, the Gorn. That's what your money's going to. We're gonna make Terry play the Gorn. But that's an incredible story. But you haven't quit. You've managed to survive.
Well, I will say I did quit midway through Enterprise.
That's okay. Everybody's
necessary. That's necessary for health, wealth, mental
health. Yeah, I didn't get to, like, you know, the quote unquote good episodes until it had already been cancelled.
I think my favorite Enterprise story is still Duncan Barrett's from the episode we did with him that never got released because I corrupted the recording, which was he wanted to, he did Shuttlepod 1 and he quit Shuttlepod 1 because he turned on this TV in a hotel in America. Shuttlepod 1 appeared. He watched 5 minutes of it and went, I can't watch this.
But that's enough to ruin anyone's trip day.
Really,
yeah.
It's just not. I tried, and I, you know, there are certainly good episodes. And like I said, Trash Captain Archer, Scott Bakula is so charismatic that even though I hate 90% of what Archer does, I still appreciate him.
Yeah, he's a trashy man, and he's very, very trashy this episode. And
we begin with a beautiful, very necessary scene of everyone nude in the decon chamber,
including the dog.
Including the dog, which is a weird like panning of, you know, T'Pol and Hoshi, oh so hot, and then Archer and his dog. I guess that's sort of set the metaphor for the fact that that's all he has right now. But it's a classic Berman entrance, and you know, we get to see him being grumpy at the fact that he has to do his job, the audacity. It's actually very relatable, really.
He's sitting here being like, how dare I have to understand another people's customs, and how dare they not give me the answer? And
does he not give you the I mean, have you ever had anyone tell you that they like dogs more than people? And like I could tell before you told me this information.
A girl once told me that, and it was at that point that I decided I was no longer interested in that.
Valid.
It was just like, why am I here? Because
it's a
I have no problem
sentiment.
With you liking dogs more than me, but I'm going to go and do something better with my time.
Yeah, it's a little too misanthropic, but anyway.
He's groveling over it, and then Phlox is like, yeah, I can't let you take the dog, the dog's ill. And I'm just like, what do you mean the dog's ill? Which, you know, you need a plasma injector for your ship, otherwise it might fall out the sky, but you're angry about your dog.
I mean, what happened? Porthos was exposed to some sort of pathogen in the air, something was going on that triggered something in him. Is he in a coma for like the entire
most
episode?
Of it.
Yeah.
He's a body double for most of the episode.
It's not even a good one.
It's funny.
It's like that puppet of Hema that number one threw over her shoulder.
So much bigger than actual Porthos that I don't understand why they did that.
Presumably because they didn't want to suspend a dog in jelly.
They could have made a better one.
It looks like a completely different dog.
It is a completely different dog. That's because it's not a real dog.
It looks like a completely different breed of dog. They didn't try hard enough, John.
It was a weird time.
It looks like aged taxidermy in the Horniman's Museum. That's what it looks like.
It does look a bit taxidermy. You know, there's a series of books called Crap Taxidermy. Yeah. You ever read those? It's just pictures of crap taxidermy. And anyway. But it's this weird thing where everybody seems to think Archer's being a dick, but nobody seems that fussed about it. It's like even when he's talking to Trip, And I was just like, you can just handle with like four plasma injectors. Yeah. And Trip's like, nah, I can't. And it's like, why are you like this? You know I need this. You know we need this. You're a trained diplomat. Sort it out.
Must have these phases a lot. Everyone's like, here you go. It's another mood.
That's definitely there's that one, you know, not to skip ahead, but when Hoshi thinks she's only speaking to T'Pol, but Archer is also there. And like Hoshi's like making fun of him because they know, like, this is just who he is.
You know, it's kind of like in the early episodes of TNG, they have this thing where it's quite clear that Picard is not one of these people who's like openly nice. He's like a very disciplinary man. He's a very harsh man. It's that sort of Hornblower-esque thing where, you know, he bollocks Riker for ages and then he goes, welcome to the Enterprise. But the thing is, they're not doing that with Archer. They've just made him an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's not even like how Lan is an asshole where we're like, yeah, you're an asshole, but you get things done. He's an asshole who's also a failure.
They had to make him abrasive to be giving him a personality. That's what we've learned here today.
And then, you know what we find out next? The reason it's a diplomatic incident is his dog pissed on our holy tree.
Which honestly is very foreseeable. Like, there's so much that it's basically all, it's 99.9% your fault, Archer, that any of this happened. And I'm really being generous by giving you 0.1% because of course that would happen. Did you make provisions for this dog?
Like, imagine if on a state visit, like, a president brought a dog and it pissed on, like, I don't know, the speaker's chair or fucking, it went to France and it pissed out, like, it pissed on the, you know, the sacred flame of France, the Arc de Triomphe, the eternal flame. That would be real shithousery. But instead, I'm just like, what the fuck? Who cares?
I mean, I think that this entire episode is sort of, it's very focused on Archer and it's also almost from his point of view. Like you were saying that Phlox, we don't like get any really good Phlox scenes. And it's because we don't get any scenes with Phlox that aren't about Archer and his dog. Like we don't get to see Phlox actually working on the problem or doing anything. He's catching his bat. That took like 15 minutes of like that. None of that was important. But it's so not only is Archer an asshole, but we're stuck in Archer's asshole point of view the entire time.
We're stuck in his dickhead brain.
And we deserve so much more.
Dude, you know, we could have given, you know, Travis plot development or even Malcolm plot development, but instead we have Archer complaining about the fact that his dog's ill and that he doesn't care about the diplomatic incident, and then him getting sad and sleeping in sick bay.
Yeah, he tries to like turn the diplomatic incident back on them. Like they should have told me that my dog was going to get sick by coming down to their planet. And it's like, no, just don't bring your dog to the planet. I feel like this is an easy decision. Don't bring your dog. That's it.
I like saying my dog needs exercise. It's like, well, maybe after you've been to the planet and you've secure whatever you need, you can go walk the dog in the highlands or something. I don't know.
I want to hear about Phlox and his three wives. Obviously, someone with three wives is more interesting than Archer. I want to know everything about Phlox's backstory. They just give me a little taste. They give me a scene where he's combing his tongue. I want the backstory.
Don't forget the toenail clipping.
Oh, gosh.
I just like that we just see all of like Phlox's evening ablutions. Like he's clipping his toenails. He's brushing his tongue. I do like how they lead. This is what they lead into the fact that yes, Phlox is an alien. He is a bit weird.
He's weirder than the average alien, and that makes him a legend. Okay.
It's good for him. And then what happens? So like Archer puts his bed in sick bay. Phlox goes around his evening rituals, and after he makes a lot of noise trying to feed all his animals, Archer goes to the gym. And T'Pol is there. We have this really weird sequence of them arguing about diplomacy while competing over who can go faster on a treadmill. And it's really, really weird. And like it belongs in something like fucking Glee.
Yes.
It doesn't deserve anything better than Glee.
at this point in the episode, I didn't know or remember that it was about his sexual tension with her. I was still confused as to what the hell was going on. And there is no real sexual tension. It's just that he needs to go and handle himself away from everyone else. I don't know why this storyline was thrust upon us. Was it at this point that they were going to try and make them end up together? Was that a thing that was happening in the wider Enterprise universe?
I didn't know they were doing, so I can't answer that.
If so, they were like more going for a Kirk and Spock or Janeway and Chakotay. Like we're going to try to have this tension. But Kirk and Spock and Janeway and Chakotay happen because they like the tension was actually there. Like they had chemistry. And we saw it. And I honestly like Archer and T'Pol as a ship, but in my head, it's not like actually on screen. I feel like 10 years later, they could get together once Archer has gotten over his toddler phase and gotten up to her level.
That's so true. Gosh, she has to deal with so much nonsense on this ship. Malcolm, like the Malcolm weird dream sequences, that's basically being lived out with Archer.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, T'Pol. You deserve better. And then he gets like angry at her, like about apologizing or something. I don't know what he's projecting onto her, but I wish I mean, see it.
Sort of at the end, it seems like the entire point of this episode was so Archer learns how to apologize, which again, I feel is something you learn in kindergarten.
This isn't an episode of Arthur. So I think it would be funny if the Enterprise theme, instead of like the Enterprise theme, it comes up and just goes, every day you're walking down the street. Just like Captain Archer walking down the street. I think that would have been a better episode.
That would have been.
You know, Scott Bakula singing What a Wonderful Time of Day. That would have been good. But instead, sexual tension. I don't like the Arthur.
I mean, honestly, this episode made me hate Porthos, despite his emotions. And he was asleep the entire time. I'm so sorry, but I was like,
The dog did
He did nothing wrong, but it's his fault.
Yeah, because where were we? So the dog's in shock.
Is he drowned yet? Have we drowned the dog?
No, we're at the bit where Archer's like, why is T'Pol a little bitch? His words, not mine. And then Fox's immediate reaction is, you considered fucking her? As essentially, he's like, when was the last time you had sex? And if you'd like to have sex, why aren't you having it with T'Pol?
Which
Fox?
What?
Just know I forgive you because I know that that's the spirit of Berman, you know, using you as a mouthpiece. I know you would never really say that, Fox. It's okay.
I feel like John Billingsley would. This is the thing, Fox wouldn't say that, but John Billingsley would. I mean, we've had John Billingsley on. It's the kind of thing he'd say. Not out of any malice, just because he is just kind of... He wouldn't... It's a reasonable question to ask, possibly.
You got to check all the boxes.
In the meantime, the Cretaceans are being dicks and asking them to change the time zone, which...
No, they're actually being very reasonable. That's the other thing. All they've done is said, be punctual. I'm sorry, that's very basic manners.
No, I think it is a kind of funny point, because it's that thing where... Presumably, actually, no, I think it's a reference, because later on in like TNG and stuff, the ships always do go to local time. Mm. Like, even when Kirk's in orbit of a planet, they're working on local time.
Yeah, it's common sense. So yeah. I know that we had to take a journey to common sense, but.
You know, I guess if you're only in orbit of a planet for a couple of hours, right? It makes sense to not switch the ship's clocks over because you're going to be gone. You don't want to give people jet. You don't want to just fuck up the scheduling for like half an hour.
If a phone in 2022 can show you two time zones at once, the ship can show you two time zones at once.
I guess it makes sense in the sense that, let's face it, Hoshi probably does a clock in front of her saying it's 9 o'clock. Mm. But you wouldn't want to be like, oh, I know your shift ended... 20 minutes ago, but it's technically 9 a.m. so your shift actually just started. You wouldn't want to do that. That is
the lower decks bitches, they don't even need to know what's going on.
I don't even know what the sun looks like.
They don't even need to look out the window. It's fine.
Yeah, because anyway, they send their list of demands, which Archer thinks is full of shit. And then we have a bat hunt. And I don't know what the bat hunt is for. I don't know who it's for.
It's respite for us. Yeah, okay. We do.
Have you ever seen the movie Scrooged?
Not for a long time.
Bill Murray Christmas movie.
No.
So in that movie, one of the television executives wants to have television programming for cats. And so he makes them put mice in the show so that his cats would be entertained. And so I think because this is an episode about Porthos, the bat hunt is for the cats and dogs who are watching at home.
This is just Star Trek being inclusive. This changes everything. And this is now Emmy worthy.
It's entertainment for cats.
It's the respite we needed. I think this is actually the only shining light that we found in this episode.
Do cats like Scott Bakula?
Everyone likes Scott Bakula.
Against our best judgment.
It's so once the bat hunt is over, we find out that Phlox is like, why aren't you guys fucking? And then Archer's like, fuck you. And then he turns around and basically goes, and fuck you too to Hoshi, who's just there. She's come to deliver a message. Don't be mean to Hoshi.
She did catch the bat.
She did catch the bat, exactly. Stop being mean to Hoshi.
This is just a story about women being competent in front of men who are losing their minds. And that's great.
Yeah, it's not great. It's pretty bad. But don't worry, it gets worse. Because now we have a dream sequence. Tell us about the dream sequence.
Oh, yes. If you didn't think that an episode about sexual tension wasn't improved by a dying dog for 40 minutes, it would be improved by a sex scene at a funeral. We have Archer in the rain. He's letting it pour down on him. Everyone else has a sense to have umbrellas, but, he's really sad. So he's just in his head thinking about T'Pol as his dog is lowered into the ground. And that's, I guess, what turns him on. We're not going to kink shame on this podcast, are we, John? Are we?
And this time I'm going to make an exception.
We don't kink shame, and that's always been the case.
Even with dog funeral sex?
I just want a psychologist to evaluate everyone involved.
Because then we stop the dog funeral sex and we switch to a decon gel rub.
Oh gosh.
I don't even remember what
all of it's here. All of it being narrated by Flock.
Oh yeah. We go back to his sort of little monologue in Sick Bay, which is just echoing around. I guess that's also part of Archer's enjoyment.
Because Phlox, it's like a repeat of the beginning sequence, but in this dream version, Archer and T'Pol have the pathogen and Hoshi and the dog get to leave, which again that's an interesting kink. Pathogen sex. Sure.
Why does there always have to be some weird influence happening, Star Trek? Please.
Well, there's a great... You know the episode of Lower Decks where they're cleaning up all the anomalies and artifacts that the senior crew have, and Rutherford blows up like a balloon, and Teddy turns into a massive scorpion thing? There's a capture, it's like the opening title of the episode, and it's got the title from an episode of Police Squad, and the title is just the writer's barely disguised fetish. And
I saw
something like 40% of Star Trek episodes are just this week, the writer's poorly disguised fetish. It's something like 80% of.
We should be exposing them. We need to know.
Well, it's like, think how many episodes of Enterprise there are which involve somebody getting controlled by a mind virus, or somebody being transformed by a lady in virus, or somebody being mentally affected by an alien virus or alien entity. It's like, it has the highest proportion of them. Even TOS had that. TOS had two, and one of them was the children.
Wait, what?
Anyway, if you'd like to add the children shall lead on this podcast, please send us an email at iquitstartrek@gmail.com or message us at quitstartrekpod on Twitter.
Dear.
But instead, we have gel rub and, Porthos isn't getting better, and T'Pol comes in and it's like, are you doing, can you please get on this? And then Archer says, well, Olivia, what does Archer say to T'Pol?
Something about her breasts. And then her lips.
He says, I'm doing the breast I can.
The breast I can.
I did not catch that.
He says,
I'm going to cry.
Breast I can. And then she sort of looks at him, and then she goes, I'm going to send you a list of things you need to do. And he's like, yeah, send me your lips. I mean, your list.
I am broken.
Those are real Star Trek lines.
That's like not worse lines than the Glee. Stinky thing with Malcolm, because this one really happened in front of her very eyes.
The stinky thing is, we need to have Duncan back on.
I'm so depressed, guys. It's really, I don't know if I just didn't hear that part of the episode, I wasn't paying attention, or if my mind tried to save me, but I didn't know this happened. And I quit the podcast for this. I can't watch Star Trek again.
Don't worry, Olivia. Archer's doing the breast he can.
Oh, no.
That's his, you know, t-shirt motto. I'm doing the breast I can.
Oh, gosh. Should that be a new I quit Star Trek shirt?
I'm doing the breast I can. Just a picture of Archer, but like a dumb face. Like, pulling that sort of sad face.
We're onto something here.
Let me write that down.
Oh, God.
Shirt. Fun fact, the notebook I'm using today has here the original me writing notes when we started this podcast.
Aww. Oh, wait, I think I have mine as well. It's under like 1,000 pens. Rebuked tradition. My notes are on my phone this time. Terrible.
Doing the breast I can, a pic of sad.
You know, I've always thought, like, imagine if someone finds Archer like our notebooks with all this nonsense.
Oh no, that happened when I was moving home and my dad was helping me unpack and he pulled out a notebook and was like, why does this say why Spock why? And I was like, oh, give me that. And it's like, my dad's alert to me because he knew what it was. He's been on the podcast. I've told him how I do it. This gave me a look like what's it's so incriminating. And I don't know what's incriminating. I just don't think people should read what I say about bad Star Trek episodes.
Just know that if you read it, you'd consider having me sectioned.
Yeah, same. I think you'd ask yourself why we've done nearly 80 episodes of this. But don't
Someone
worry,
has
I'm
to
asking
wait.
It to. Well, actually, you know why? Because people are paying us to now. Now we have an excuse. This podcast pays my bar bills and my overdraft. Well, actually, this month is paying for my graduation hood and gown, but that's nice.
I'm the second one.
I'm the second one because I screwed it up. Moving on. Actually, yeah, by the time this podcast comes out, I'll have graduated.
Yay.
So where were we? Oh, now we're at the bit where Porthos starts getting really bad. So Fox is like, I'm going to give him a bit of lizard. And we're going to have to drown him for a bit.
Yeah, super hydrate. That's not
awesome. Super hydrate the dog. So they put him.
Star Trek.
We say super hydrate. You expect he's like in a vat of water with bubbles, like a Bacta tank from Star Wars. But no, it's either jelly or piss water. It is the same color as piss water.
That was a choice
to dunk a dog in piss water. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I bet you, I will put money on the fact that Scott Bakula and John Billingsley sit next to that vat and at some point said to each other, why does the vat look like piss?
Looks like iron brew.
That's not better. Iron brew looks like piss. Why are you dunking a dog in iron brew, Olivia?
And they're also like, they're cutting a little piece of his head. Like, it's not pleasant to watch. Nothing
it's
about
okay,
that.
It's okay, because he doesn't look enough like a dog for it to be like, oh, they've cut a dog open. They've clearly cut a puppet open. Like, TOS would have simply just not shown the dog.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have just made the outside of the vat opaque.
And this was like, what, 2000-ish?
They're also skinned.
They didn't try at all.
No. So the dog's in jello. And Archer's like, so what if I want to fuck her? And the fox is like, well, what do you want my opinion for? Like, if you want to fuck her, she's not going to want to fuck you because she's a Vulcan. And if you want to fuck her but you're not going to do anything, then talking to me about it won't help.
It's just like the worst fear, like to have two men discussing you like that. Like, it's just so long.
Yeah.
is an anti-Bechdel test.
That's just all of Enterprise, I guess.
Yes.
I just don't know what to do with this episode.
I just think that someone should have slapped Archer at least once by this point in the episode.
It would have been funny if Phlox had slapped him. But then we do find out something nice, which is that Phlox has three wives. Each of his wives has two other husbands. Technically, there are 700 odd people in his family, in his close family, and he has technically had 31 children. He's got the same 31 children, which is, you know, close to the number of children Boris Johnson has.
Boris wishes he could be Phlox.
I feel like Boris Johnson would make a very good denobula, at least in terms of romanticism.
Don't do that to them. Don't. That's defaming an entire
I apologise to the fictional people of denobula for comparing them to the terrifyingly real Boris Johnson. Alexander Boris de Peffel Johnson.
You just did something that Archer does in this episode.
Apologise.
Apologize, but you know, to after insulting the entire Denobulan race.
Yeah, because he makes that very cheeky comment about you guys like fry up your furry things with onions, and I was like, okay, that feels like a real racial microaggression. That felt
weird. The cultural stuff was strange because neither Phlox nor T'Pol could understand why Archer loved his dog so much. And to be fair, I don't love a dog that much, but it was just strange that they singled out the aliens. And like, would Hoshi and Trip understand?
It would have been funny if he'd gone to Trip and Trip would be like, why? I know you love Porthos, but for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Trip would
Trip's
eat
kind
Porthos
of a dodgy character as well.
If he was hungry, he was starving, he would eat Porthos.
Pan fry, like it's just like, say Trip, where do you get a catfish? It's for out in space, and Trip just slowly leaves the room.
He's from Florida. Don't blame him for his culture.
My culture is not your costume, he says, as you set yourself on fire. But yeah, so eventually Archer, you know, I say bites a bullet, but he does what he's told, which is yell at the Cretaceans while cutting a tree up and arranging it without a shirt on, with a weird headdress on. And some tattoos. And I don't know what to make of it, except that they clearly spent all this episode's budget on the four alien guys.
I love the chainsaw stuff. Look, I don't know what you're talking about. That was the best part.
You do get shirtless Scott Bakula.
Yeah, but you could just watch Quantum Leap for that, and that's
Weddy,
actually good.
Shirtless Scott Bakula.
Once again, Quantum Leap. it's there, guys.
What the franchise needed. We needed to see that one time at whatever cost.
And then, so he does the thing. The Cretaceans seem pretty pleased. So he then apologizes to T'Pol, and they're basically like, you know, maybe I've been needing to fuck. And then T'Pol's like, good thing you can't fuck me.
She shuts him down like a fucking queen. I love her for it. Because it's insane. The one-sided nature of this conversation up to this point.
She, more power to her for getting through that without punching him out. You can tell she's a Vulcan.
Then he gets the dog back and all is well.
They do get their engine part or whatever.
And two spares.
Because he did so well at being shirtless and swimming.
You know, we never see the Cretaceans again, which implies to me that they were enslaved by the Klingons.
Oh dear.
That's my take. For all the species in Enterprise that we never see again, the obvious answer is that the Klingon Empire occupied their planet and enslaved their population, which is why we never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the painfully obvious answer.
Why can't we give them a nice send-off? Why does it have to be enslavement? What else could have happened? Maybe
their planet was destroyed by a meteor.
I don't think that's nicer.
Remember when we thought we get the Denobulans in Strange New Worlds?
Please don't mention my heartbreaks to me. There's so much heartbreak centered around Enterprise. I don't get enough Andorians. And then when I went with Denobulan Black, we never hear of one again. Did we get one in Low Decks? I
think Denobulans, we got one. We got a Denobulan, we got Denobulan who sounded like an Australian, and then he got eaten. Was he a Tellarite? There were Denobulans in Lower Decks. And then, yeah. So, trivia time. This episode was written by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga.
Shocking.
Of course.
Could have called it.
This episode was nominated for a Hugo Award.
Never heard of it. Don't know what that is.
What?
It's a big television award.
Seriously?
Award. It's like being nominated for the BAFTAs, Olivia.
This episode?
This episode was nominated for the Hugos.
Of all the episodes? Once again,
nominated and winning are very different things, you know.
This can't be the best episode of season two.
It's like, I've raced in national finals for rowing. I didn't win. I didn't medal, but I raced in them.
That has to be some sort of bribery situation, I assume. Someone is blackmailed. Something.
It's the early 2000s, who knows?
Pardon me. Why no one
someone really likes dogs, I guess. I mean, nothing even happens in this episode.
So there's a deleted scene where Chucker comes to see Archer in sickbay, and they have a chat about the injector. And then as he's leaving, Tucker says, I had a grade school teacher who was certain I stole a pencil off her desk. I think it was a pencil. She wasn't going to let me go on a field trip to Pensacola unless I apologized. My mother told me I should tell her I was sorry, but I said I didn't steal the damn pencil. You know what she told me? It's okay to apologize when you shouldn't have to, just as long as you don't mean it.
That's not.
Well, I get it's another weird scene, but I get the whole thing. I like the whole thing of Trip being like, just fucking apologize.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Sure. I mean,
you know,
like they're not there, you don't need
it. Is being the adult in this situation something wrong?
Yeah. Trip definitely sucks just as much as Archer, and I try and forgive him because he's cute, but they're both very stupid. At least, this episode is very Trip-nippable. And I think it's actually, it's embracing the scale in a way that we haven't had for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Billingsley said this is one of his favourite episodes because he liked working with Scott Bakula.
Okay.
He said, I know people were of two minds of this episode. I rather liked it.
I'm sure he had a good time.
I'm sure he got paid well. It could have been a good episode if many things were different. The idea of a like bottle that is just sick bay, like there are interesting concepts here, but it's like Sesame Street level of storytelling. So
it was the shell of it's like the entirety of Enterprise. It was the shell of potential.
Right.
We could all see it in the distance, even here.
Is there potential here?
If they had like scooped out everything in the episode, so basically having an Enterprise episode was the idea, and that's good, and then everything else about it we don't like.
You know when you have a kid who's a picky eater and they want a burger and they're like, I don't want lettuce, I don't want tomato, I don't want any sauce, and it's you end up with a burger that's just like a piece of poorly cooked meat from McDonald's and two buns.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, Olivia.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Shit. You're talking about shit.
I think there was like a TikTok where someone ordered everything at McDonald's, but they minus everything on like the board, so it was just the only ingredient was just cheese in a cardboard box. Simple. That's exactly what we're saying, and that's what they presented us with. It's not our fault.
So we're all quitting, right? We don't need to do that. We're all quitting. We don't have to go through it. We can just move on to the next step, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Olivia, you know what? I always make you explain it. I'm going to explain because we're doing the triplets now. And triplets are our scale of utter terrible cursedness, you know, based on the marvelous episode Unexpected, in which Trip Tucker grows nipples on his wrist. And that is our scale of how utterly baffling an episode is, with zero triplets being fine, the normal number of nipples a boy should have, and 10 triplets being there are nipples running up your wrists, you're watching the alternative factor, I don't know, the gourd are evil now, bad things, terrible things.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't come for any of my beloveds in this list.
No, this is your scale of cursedness, and I think Knife and Sick Bay gets a fat hot 10.
Hell yeah. Wait.
I'm giving it.
Let me think.
I'm just going to say I'm doing the best I can again.
Gosh, okay, you're right. That's all you have to say. I wanted to give, like, you know, a half for Hoshi.
Nine she and deserves a half better. For Hoshi.
But yeah.
I really just, when as soon as you said the breast, you can, so I really went back to a dark place that I'm struggling to crawl out of. I can't even think. I cancel my high art list. It can't be in the same hour as this discussion. Yeah, it has to be 10. It actually has to be 10. It's the culmination just of everything. That's terrible.
Right? Are you sure, Annika, we can't bump you up to a 10 to get a perfect score?
Fine, okay. I was here. The breast
doing
and the funeral and
the funeral dream.
As soon as it was in the dream sequence, like that whole sequence is just, it's like a fever dream. Like, what is happening here?
I'm adding it all up.
Don't forget the dog in gel. Don't forget the dog in piss water. Never forget the dog in piss water.
The dog in decon.
Also, you can tell when, like, at least twice, you can tell when they replaced the fake Porthos with the real Porthos, because it's like very dead, not looking anything like Porthos, and then all of a sudden the dog jumps up and is okay, and it's jarring. Like, they really could have done better on the techno. If they're not going to do better on like the plot and the writing, they should at least do better on the technique.
Yeah, and
it's fair to say they should excel in at least one aspect. Do you think that it's too late to report them to the RSPCA for making the Porthos actor experience this episode?
Well, the dog's dead, so. The dog has been freed from this mortal pain.
Just because a crime happened a long time ago doesn't mean we don't need retribution. Aren't you a historian?
This is a bad memorial.
A historic crime. But you get Keir Starmer on this, QC.
Oh gosh.
I love it when I say he's just to piss Terry off. But so are you cancelling high art this?
From this, we need something that's gonna brighten our day. So my high art list is really just a subjective list of things that I like, and I will allow the people to submit something to my what we can only describe as perfect tastes. We have Mars, we have Arena, we have Spock's Brain, we have I keep forgetting the episode. But Journey basically any episode that's camp enough and fabulous, it's going to make it on the list. Let's just, you know, submit something that you like and we'll see. Threshold, you know what? Okay, wait, no, explain.
So there's two things. The first is that Robert Duncan McNeil, like, is never better than he is in the sickbay scene in Threshold. He really, like, acts his heart out. And it's really sad that his terrible episode is, you know, his best as an actor. Also, Threshold did win an Emmy.
It won it for makeup, didn't it?
Yes.
Which it deserves. The makeup in Threshold is really good.
But we celebrate Threshold Day every year, and I think that alone is worth giving a shout out.
How are people celebrating Threshold Day?
They make art. They turn into tell lizards. Stories. There were like puppets of the lizards.
This is it's a just trauma really bond.
Sweet. It's a trauma bond.
This is we're all victims here as Trekkies, but
we should make a hotline.
There should be a hotline. I think here's the thing. I actually have an affinity towards Threshold, and this is because the four, which is I think a few episodes, I don't know what proximity it
is. That's the clown one, yeah.
Clown one, yes, yeah. Okay.
But it's so much worse and should get so much more flack for being genuinely terrifying and ruining my piece. So, you know, Threshold, it's kind of funny. It's fun to see them as fish, and then it's harmless. You know, nothing too bad happens. I'm sure they're having a great time as pre-human creatures. I don't know. So I will, in an unprecedented move, allow Threshold onto the high art list.
These are babies for the win.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
So while Olivia contemplates going to Warp 10 and turning into a space lizard, do you have anything to plug to our listeners, Annika?
Well, I do have my own Star Trek podcast, Antimatter Pod, it's me and my friend Liz, who is Australian. So it's like the two hemispheres chatting about Trek. We are finishing up our Strange New Worlds recaps, and then we're going to take a little break and hopefully get, like, we've been doing new Trek for so long that we're going crazy. So we're taking a break, a little vacation, but you can listen to all our backlog, and then we'll come back with fun nonsensical things. Our tagline, let's see if I can do it, is we discuss fashion, feminism, subtext, and subspace. Nice. In Star Trek.
Hell yeah. So you've been doing new Trek. Does that mean you've covered Picard?
Yes.
Oh wow.
If you want to hear me crying about how much Picard has ruined my soul, there are some episodes.
Yeah. We are, I think, our next episode, I think, will be the all-star Picard : bit shit in it episode.
It has to happen. I'm so ready to eviscerate Picard, okay? It broke me. I believed in you, Picard. Anyway.
Somehow the second season made the first season look...
Yes!
Exactly. Shouldn't have done that. That's not how it's meant to work. Go listen to that podcast. Come and yell at us at Quit Star Trek Pod on Twitter, or email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. We now have a Patreon, Patreon/IQuitStarTrek. You're sending us £95 a month now.
Are we revealing this personal information? Okay, no. I mean, it's terrifying that you would trust us.
It's been a week. It's not even been a week. It's been like 6 days. Yay. Thank you guys so much. Please support us. This covers primarily the cost of us doing Zoom. Probably some new equipment. I might need a new microphone, maybe Olivia's Wi-Fi. Mainly beer. Mainly beer, but also we really appreciate your donation. We're getting worked on some bonus content. I know we said we do the films. We're going to try and do comics with Terry. I'm going to make Olivia watch MASH if we get to 50 episodes.
This is my true fear.
We might, I don't know. Tell us what you want us to do. If you join the Patreon, you can help decide. But until then, thank you so much, Annika, for coming on.
Thank you.
And until next time, everyone, don't put a dog in piss water.
Yeah.
Because the dog's doing the best he can.
No. Oh, okay. No. I cut the podcast.
Bye, everyone.
I'm done.